Yep, all together. So ready? 3, 2, 1. Hello, that's totally fine. Don't worry, Dave. It's not a bad idea, is it? It's not a bad idea. I have to credit.
I'd say we've done that quite a few times and it's gone horribly wrong. So
no, that was the best one today. I might even leave it in. Who knows? Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fundamentals podcast. I am your host, Harley. Joining me on this episode, the most meta, the most self-indulgent I've done to date, it's the co-hosts of the Unequal Sequel podcast, Rich Wilshire and Dave Curtis. Rich and Dave were kind enough to jump on and explore the world of podcasts and podcasting, really, you could say. See, this is an episode where we have quite a unique perspective. We discuss really how we got involved with podcasts, you know, things that we're fans of, what we sort of tend to listen to and so forth. And then we also get into the details really of what it's like to be behind the scenes of a show. I feel like this is a really inspirational episode. If you're someone who's listening to this and you've perhaps thought about starting your own show, well, there's a lot of great tips in here and useful resources that we point to. And of course, I'll make sure to put links in the show notes for what's discussed throughout the episode. But above all else, I just think this will be, hopefully, a really inspiring episode, if not interesting. As I sit here now recording this intro with a little sleeping dog in my arms, I can't help but think that this has been one of the most fun episodes I've ever recorded. Rich and Dave have a wonderful chemistry, and it really shows on this episode. And so I hope you guys listening enjoy it. I hope you go and check out their podcast, Unequal Sequel, because it is brilliant, and all the good shows that we talk about throughout. So without further ado, let's get straight into the episode. This is Podcast with Rich Wilshire and Dave Curtis. Hello, Rich and Dave, and welcome to the Fundamentals podcast.
Thanks for having us. We're all laughing because Dave's already made an idiot of himself, like we've on like 10 seconds.
No,
Dave,
no, that's
you've
not...
got to remember this isn't our podcast, mate.
Yeah,
you don't ask the questions on this one.
It's totally fine. Look, I think this is going to be like the most loose one yet because, as people would have seen from the title, you guys have come to me with the topic of podcasts. Now, I don't even know where to begin with this. I think I'll just start. I'll tell you what I'll start with. I want to know from you guys, when were you guys first introduced to podcasts? Because I feel like it's quite a new medium, isn't it?
Well, you say that, but I think I started, we were talking about this earlier, Dave and I, and I think my first introduction to podcasts was about 2006.
Really?
So I was doing student radio. So after we were at university, we didn't have a radio station at our university, so I decided I'd set one up because that's just the kind of guy I am. So I'd set up a student radio station. I'd been offered the job to stay on it and run it. So I was doing that and listening to a lot of radio, which included kind of like the recordings of like the Ricky Gervais show on XFM and the Adam and Joe show on Six Music, where they essentially released them as like recordings you could download, but without the music. So it was I guess that was my first kind of foray into podcasts. So we were doing something similar on student radio where we were taking the music off of shows and letting people download them. About 2006 for me, but I didn't realize that was a podcast back then.
Right. Okay.
I was similar, but mine, I used to really like the Russell Brand show. Do you remember that before he got chucked off BBC?
Vaguely, but yeah, go on.
It was the whole Andrew Sachs problem when him and Jonathan Ross insulted his grandpa.
Oh, yeah, all of that stuff.
But
oh, my goodness.
Pre that, it was really good and really funny, and it was a weekly thing. And also, Kevin Smith was an early way into podcasting. He seemed to jump on the bandwagon earlier than most people. So listened to a lot of early Kevin Smith weird stuff. And then probably after that, the Empire magazine. Anything I can get hands on with films at that point.
I think yeah. I probably started on podcasting as we think of it now. I started a new job and my commute was like 3 hours a day. So I quickly got bored of listening to commercial radio and started downloading Distraction Pieces, which is Scroobius Pip's podcast and the Adam Buxton podcast.
Okay.
So yeah. They were kind of my first, they're still my first kind of go-to ones, I think. They were kind of the first foray into proper podcasting, I guess.
Yeah. It's definitely commuting, definitely is the thing that drives me forward with listening to podcasts. Without that commuting, I always struggle to listen to anything. My back catalogue or lessons now is absolutely insane because obviously the last 2 years, there hasn't been much commuting. I've only just started going back into the office a couple of days a week from like last week. So I've got a lot to catch up on, like lots to catch. I'm like 2 years behind on Adam Buxton. I'm still on his story with Joe Cornish about the doodle with Tom Cruise.
Oh, God, but, you've got ages, mate. Yeah. That's like a five-part story and it's only once a year.
Exactly. And I don't want anyone to ruin it for me, so I've been kind of like not trying to get spoilers. But there are a few podcasts that I've tried to stick with over the last couple of years. But I don't, this is going to sound really weird, I don't like to put pressure on myself anymore because I'm one of those people that hates looking at lists of things that I've got coming up, like, you know, those people that have like don't check their emails and has the little number of like 1,000 and stuff like that drives me absolutely bonkers. So I'm kind of the same in podcasts. So now I don't actually subscribe to anything. I just try and dip in and out when I remember to. So that means I've got loads to. I've made a list of all the ones I listen to. It's about 23 long at the moment.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's a lot of listening, but I love it. And it's, you know, it's what I'm interested in. And doing, obviously.
That's awesome, man. I mean, this is the thing. I knew we were going to talk about this anyway, but one of the things I tell people if they're someone who's not into podcasts, they haven't dived into it, is it, like you say, at this point now, it's such a huge world. So it's the way I kind of sell it to people. It's like, if you can think of anything that you are interested in, chances are a podcast exists, and that's only like one small section of it. There are of course lots of other different types which I'm sure we can get into, but yeah, I think that's a really cool thing about it, is that if you're someone who just has a specific interest or a niche, chances are you can find like-minded people through it and just listen to really entertaining and informative discussions about it.
My parents into narrowboating, and I was like, there can't be a narrowboat podcast. I think there is.
There must be.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Clive from the old narrowboat. I was listening to his the other day, and it's sort of like a nice
way of being involved in a conversation, like especially through lockdown. When you're not seeing people, you can still be involved in conversations about stuff you like. You know, if you're a fan of a sports team or something like that, you can listen to a podcast put together by other fans, and it feels like you're part of the conversation. You know, it's a really good medium for that.
Yeah. And sometimes they can feel like your mates, which is really bad when you've never met these people.
Yeah. And you kind of hope you never do, because you wind up being a little too familiar. You know?
Well, that's been our problem a couple of times.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think we've played it cool on our podcast. A few people we've had on that we've listened to, or Rich has listened to.
I think the Nick Helm one was the hardest.
Yeah.
I was like, the Nick Helm episode, I'm literally going, hold it together. Come on. So I'm a really, really big fan of Nick's, and it was really hard to kind of be, I was like, come on, be professional. Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've had that privilege with a couple of episodes where people on, I'm like, okay, just be cool. And they come on like, hi. And then, yeah, inside you go, I can't believe I'm talking to you. But yeah, but that's a whole other side of it. I like what you said though about that, about like being involved in the conversation, because I'm someone who's self-employed. I work on my own, and I always say that's like the primary reason why I'm listening to so many podcasts is because, yeah, I just feel like I'm like exactly what you said, is listening in on a conversation. And so yeah, if you're someone out there who has a long commute or an isolated job, I think it's another medium that's really good for that sort of thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the best.
I was just going to say, sort of the reason that we started doing the podcast as well, isn't it, Dave?
Absolutely. There's a few reasons we did the podcast. One, I kind of miss being creative. So back at uni, me and Rich used to make films and stuff together. We did a lot of that. And then obviously we got a bit older and like kind of life gets in the way. And I had that scratch of either writing or directing again or filming something or doing something creative, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was listening to a lot of podcasts at the time. And then also I miss not talking to my friends a lot. So we set up our first podcast with me and Rich and then two other mates. It was called the Baywatched podcast, which at the time sounded like a really good idea. And it was a really good idea. And our friends are lovely. And when they could get on, they were amazing, but they couldn't come on every week. So a lot of the time it was just me and Rich talking about Baywatch. And it turns out Baywatch isn't as funny as we used to think it is, or as good. And actually now it's quite problematic in some places. So.
Right.
After a while, and it was a struggle, and then once they couldn't come on every week, we thought let's try and get some guests on. And it was a struggle getting guests on who wanted to watch Baywatch. It was always fun getting people who had never seen Baywatch to watch Baywatch. That was our famous thing. But like Rich said, after a while, it got too negative.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially it got to a point where we're just being critical of Baywatch every week. It was just too much.
I enjoyed the process.
If we carry this on to do every episode, it's going to take 11 years of our lives. I can't see the next 11 years of my life talking about Baywatch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I made the grave mistake of not seeing how many episodes are in a season, and it's 24. an hour each. It was just too much. And there was 11 series, and they were bad. I mean, some of them were really funny, and we could have a lot of fun with them, but a lot of them were just like, we are really struggling talking about rubbish here. but listen back, they're all still on the internet somewhere. They're all on, you know,
Spotify. Yeah, you can still listen to them on all like iTunes and all that kind of stuff, can't you? But the normal podcasting places.
That's where we honed our skill, I would say. We learned the goods and the bads. And like I said, we enjoyed the process. We enjoyed having a podcast, didn't we, Rich?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We always said making the podcast, don't like having to watch the episode of Baywatch to make the podcast from.
Yeah, right. It was a slight problem. So once we decided we weren't having fun with it, and if we weren't having fun with it, the people listening probably weren't going to have fun listening to it either.
No, they wouldn't. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I find for me, that's the thing that often makes my favorite shows is when you've got people that have got good chemistry and they're clearly having a good time.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of my favorite podcasts are just two mates chatting. A lot of them. So yeah, hopefully me and Rich, we offer that in a little way. Or once we get the guests on, it's better.
I like it when you're listening to a podcast. So like Off Menu with Ed Gamble and James Acaster, where they're quite clearly friends and, you know, that slips into stuff that's outside of the podcast. Like they're talking about their life. I like those bits more than any of the rest. Mm. That's the bits I really love. So often me and Dave will just go on a little ramble. And afterwards, I'll say to Dave, you can cut that bit out. And he's like, no, that's the good bit.
Especially in the Baywatch bit. I was like, no, we're keeping that. they were the better bit of the episodes, to be honest, when we went off subject. But when we're on Unequal, we kind of say more on subject a little bit because we both love film. So that was an easy choice. It was great.
Yeah. I'd say so, and as someone who listens to the show, I'd agree, you know? I think you guys have that going, and that leads me on to something I wanted to ask you. I mean, talking about podcasts and being sort of just generally being a fan of them, what are some of your favourites then? I mean, you've mentioned Off Menu. That's definitely a personal favourite of mine since I discovered it.
It's great, isn't it? So good.
Yeah. Such a great premise of just like for anyone who doesn't know, it's the two comedians, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, sitting down with the guests to talk about their like dream menu. And it's fascinating hearing people's decisions. But as you say, their chemistry, their banter is an excellent example of why a podcast can be so enjoyable.
And if we're totally honest, true. I was just saying that did really influence our kind of where we went with Unequal Sequel as well.
Yeah,
definitely. Okay. We're very much kind of like, we could just do Off Menu, but for sequels instead of food.
Right.
So basically we're getting the guests to do the hard work.
Yeah.
And then we just rock up. We do watch the films little bit behind the magic. We do watch the films they pick. We ask for them beforehand. So we normally watch the free picks. So we have something to discuss with them. We very rarely do we go in blind without watching the film. I don't think we have yet, have we, Rich?
No, I wouldn't.
That hasn't been a film we either haven't watched recently or haven't watched at all. So,
But on that kind of like banter between the hosts, I really like Hardcore Listings, and we got to be on Hardcore Listings of the day.
We did.
Last weekend, and that was really fun because I really like Chris and Stu, and I think their dynamic is really really cool. So that's a really good one to listen to. And that podcast, they get a guest on, or sometimes it's not a guest, sometimes it's just the two of them. They do a top five list. So it could be anything from, the other day was top five birthday joys. So top five things from when you were a kid and what you enjoyed in birthday parties, or it could be like we did top five sequels, didn't we, Dave?
Yeah, we were very on brand when we did it.
Yeah.
I think I found your episode. Yeah, there we go. Happy days, give that a follow. I'm going to have a massive follow list, but in the list is already more extensive. But yeah, that sounds great. That's another
That's a really good one, actually. And I got into that one because Chris and Stu are friends with Scroobius Pip, who does distraction pieces. And they do every year around Christmas, they do a drunk cast where the three of them get drunk together and they record the conversation they've had. And it's always hilarious. And so following that, and I probably listen to Hardcore Listings more than Distraction Pieces now, because I just love that. I just love the dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah. We kind of listen to similar things. I really, and this sounds weird, I enjoy Parents in Hell and I Don't Have a Child with Rob Beckett and Josh Widdicombe. I'm really enjoying listening to them go slowly crazy, especially during the lockdown. It was a great lockdown one.
But
that's really good. They have really good chemistry as well. But recently I've got into, I'm going to have to swear here a little bit. Okay, sorry. It's called Chatting Shit Podcast. It's Sipa and Hugo from People Just Do Nothing.
Oh, right. Okay.
And their guests are really good. And it's really interesting. They've had like Steve Stamp and Ashim Chowdhury from their show. And they talk about how they started their show and where they come from and their experience. It's really interesting. It's really inspiring if you're right, or, you know, you want to get into TV or film or whatever. And some of the other people, he has Ramesh Ranganathan on an episode, and he's always got worth the money. And he talks about how he's got into comedy and stand up. And it's just really rare. They're really funny. Their banter obviously is really good because obviously People Just Do Nothing is absolutely class. So once we both enjoy The Cine Mile.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, if we get going on brand in terms of movies, then we love The Cine Mile.
Yeah.
Big fan of that too. And I just want to say, Kathy and Dave?
Kathy and Dave.
If you're listening, do come on. I'd love to have you guys on. But yeah, that's a great example right there of a show that...
Just a genius premise, isn't it?
So simple, isn't it? So simple. But just brilliant. Just so, and I don't know if just the fact that they're Irish and their husband and wife just sort of makes it even more enjoyable.
I love the husband and wife dynamic. Yeah, it's great. I love it when they have a little argument about the film, like when they disagree on stuff. I just love it. It's brilliant. And that really is like listening into someone else's conversation, isn't it?
Because, really, you know, is.
That's what they'd be talking about on the way home anyway. And it's just like you're going with them. I was trying to explain to my. I was talking about there's something they. They did the Dune episode not long ago. And Dave pronounced Denis Villeneuve, the director, as Denis Villeneuve. And that's in my head now. Can't get rid of that. Yeah. He's Denis Villeneuve forever now.
They're really good. I like how sometimes I like podcasts that, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. But I like Cine Mile because it's quite short. They're quite good to squeeze in somewhere.
Talking of podcasts that are long, a good couple of hours, two and a half hours, The Sequelizers. We have got a kind of a bromance with The Sequelizers guys now. Because obviously we're both very much in the same territory of talking about sequels. Although I would say that they are intellectually a level above us.
Oh yeah. It's not even a competition.
Right.
They're very much into film and know a lot about it. And so what they do on their podcast is that they take a really bad sequel, they analyze why it's bad, and then one of them writes like a complete pitch, almost rewrites the whole script for what would make the sequel better. And it's brilliant. It's really, really good. It's really worth listening to. And again, they have really good dialogue, but it is about two and a half hours long. So it's not a short podcast. But yeah, those three guys just blow me away every time. Like their new version of Basic Instinct 2. I really want to watch that movie. I want that movie to get made because it sounds great.
That is a bad sequel.
That is a really bad sequel.
No one's picked that one yet on ours.
No one's picked.
Oh, well, there
sometimes
you go.
There are sequels that are so bad that people don't even think of them, I think.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, that's something I was thinking about. I was listening to your show. It's like, I think, I don't know about you guys, I tend to just forget about bad movies. Like, once if something's bad, it just doesn't make an impact. It'll just wash over me and I'll forget about it, unless it's something that's like offensively bad and it angers me to my core.
Yeah.
But that takes a lot for a film to do that.
We found a new category the other day, which is, it's so bad you forgot how bad it is, and then you have to go back to remind yourself, like, it can't be that bad. And it is that bad.
The Jewel of the Nile effect.
Right, okay.
Which is so horrifically bad, but you forget. It's got this magical thing that you forget how bad it is and go, that film's all right. And then you watch it again and go, this is shocking. Why am I watching it?
Yeah.
But what you said there is that what's quite good about our podcast, people listen to it and then they come up with their best, worst and dream sequel. Like, I've had friends text me theirs. So I'm like, okay, great. Brilliant. Thanks for telling me. Can you put it on the internet so people listen to it?
But do you know something I love, especially when we're talking about film, and I think you can extrapolate this to like any sort of idea, any sort of subculture really, is that you get so many different views when you listen to different podcasts. It's something I love, like when I'll watch a film in the cinema, and then I'll go away and I'll listen to like the cinema, like you guys, Empire, and the list goes on, you know. And I always find it really interesting because I'm just taking in all of these different points of view. And sometimes I'll watch it and come away and go, I wonder what so-and-so thought of it. And then you give it a listen and you think, oh, okay. And you suddenly develop like whole other appreciation and understanding. And it just, I think if you go in like that, it can be a really cool way of expanding your viewpoint on any given subject, but film's a good example.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's so personal to you. And so when we talk about film, and also when we get our guests on as well, what we try and do with the guests is we kind of let them have the podcast, essentially. So sometimes people go, oh God, I spoke for ages then. We're like, no, that's a good thing. Trust us, you know, we would just let you talk because these are your choices and that's personal to you. They might not be choices that we necessarily agree with. You might have picked films we don't even like, which has happened quite a few times, you know. Or pick films that for worse sequels that we do like, you know, that's happened as well. And, you know, I think you've got to maintain that opinion about film is a personal opinion. And when we talk about film, we're saying what we like and what we don't like. We're not saying categorically, academically, this film is bad or good, because we're not really qualified to do that. But what we are qualified to do is to say, this is our opinion about it. So we're never there to say, you know, don't listen to us for like a, you know, listen to Empire or Sequelizers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, someone a bit more knowledge than we have.
Yeah.
To say, you know, whether it's a definitively good film or not, ours is just our rambling opinions.
Yeah. Mm. Our first question, which is, what was the first film you got excited about, or first sequel, sorry, is designed to make them go to that memory block, basically, in their mind. And that's how the episode kind of starts. It goes to that thinking about when they were young. So we kind of set the tone straight away that we want personal opinions. It's not that if it's good or bad. Why does it affect you? What made you love or hate that first film? Why were you excited at a certain age or last year right. or before getting to watch Endgame or whatever. It's kind of designed to set things. Then we have little questions that are kind of meant to get prepare them for the next bit, like to get over the hump. And it also, with guests, because we're not famous people, we host people, we're an independent podcast. So when people come to our podcast, I think they're a little bit, you know, wary about who we are, how we're going to be. They haven't listened to us. Most of these people haven't listened to our episodes. They've heard the idea of think it's cool and they've agreed to be on it. So that first question kind of sets the tone for us and for them. Like, hey, we're here just to have a good time and laugh and talk about. We're not going to criticize your choices in any way. We're going to be nice about this, basically.
Yeah.
I agree. For me, it's a bit of a turn off if I'm listening to a podcast and people start getting a little bit definitive in what they're talking about in whatever subject. Yeah. Whether, again, whether it's film, I've had it in music a lot where I've like, because I mean, this is old news to my listeners, but I'm big into guitar and music. And there's a bunch of guitar podcasts I've tried to get into, but then they've quickly go into this sort of, it's this very weird gatekeepery territory very quickly. Or like they only talk about a certain type of music or a certain brand. And I just switch off. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like you're entitled to your opinion, but when you're like, we're not going to discuss anything else, or, you know, I've listened to music journalist podcasts and they'll outright write off a band. And I'm like, well, hang on a second. the people in question are actually quite good in my opinion. But you know, that's the thing of podcasts, like so many things you can take or leave. But to your point, I think it's when, you know, you've got something good is when you've got good chemistry and you've got people that are open-minded on a subject. And I think that's when it can get so much fun.
Absolutely.
You can just learn. You know, that's the joys of one of the many joys of podcasting, right?
Never watched. And
completely.
I didn't even know there was a Psycho.
No. Or The Guest. I'd never heard of The Guest, and I loved that movie. I absolutely loved it. And we've got a couple more that are coming in this. I'm not going to mention them because we've not released the episodes yet, but there's a couple more movies that I've watched that I've absolutely really fallen in love with that I'd never even heard of before.
So we're having fun as well.
So that's awesome.
That's a great thing. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You should be, right? As a host.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, there are some awful films we've watched as well.
But me and Richard got horrible
tastes. Don't get me wrong. There are some shockers. I like to see the good in everything, and it is very, very rare that I absolutely hate a film. Like if there's, it's massively rare. I can probably count on one hand the films I absolutely can't stand, and could never watch again. I think maybe Home Sweet Home Alone might fit in that one, but there aren't many. There aren't many that I can. Some people, like the Sequelizers guys, they find it hilarious that we can criticize a movie and say, well, this wasn't great, but we would like to see another one, because I always think I'm an eternal optimist.
Well, they say
I always
think it's going to be better next time. Every day is Christmas Eve or something.
So I think that's what spurs us on a bit. You
know. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the best way to go in, right? Especially with something like film. I think you guys actually said it. I was listening to that episode today and you were saying like, no one sets out to make a bad movie.
No.
And I'd agree with you. Like, okay, you've got the schlocky kind of sci-fi channel stuff, but even then you know what you're in for. You know you're in for, like, you're going in to see a Sharknado. You're not expecting Oscar winning visual effects. You're just expecting a bad film and you're just like, I'm here for a laugh.
Yeah.
So yeah, to your point, if you're watching a movie and it's like, oh, this didn't turn out great. That's something I've learned listening to you guys, listening to Empire, listening to lots of other film podcasts is, there are so many like things that are in motion for a film. There's many hurdles for it to overcome before you see the final product. There's so much stuff that can go wrong, basically. And so if the end result is it's not great, you're like, oh, that could have been any number of things that got this end result.
In the end of the day, someone's making a living. Trying to make the best film they can. A lot of these directors are spending hours away from their family trying to make entertainment for us. So when we get slaggy or right. anti, you know,
yeah.
the film has to be better. Yeah.
It normally is when we think we could actually do better.
But I've got a question for you guys. Do you listen to your film podcast after you see the film, or do you listen to the reviews before you go in?
Go ahead, Rich.
I always try and see the film first. However, mm-hmm. I listen to the City Mile Dune podcast before I'd seen the film. Because I still haven't actually seen it yet. So, but I've seen the original, okay. So it's not spoiling anything for me because sure. I know the story.
Funny story. He said he was going to see it. And I said, no, you can't go and see it. You've got to go see The Eternals or Eternals.
Yeah.
Because that's the one we're reviewing this week.
Yeah.
Right. So that's my fault. That why he hasn't seen.
I can safely say as someone who's seen both. Yeah. Bad choice. No, I mean, yeah, Dune was a recent topic and yeah, I will say I'm not disappointed.
That was Helen's one, wasn't it? Film.
Yes, yeah. Helen Herrera was very kind enough to come on and talk about that, and she was absolutely right. The film was spectacular.
Yeah. What a host. What a person to have on the podcast. She was brilliant for us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, she's awesome.
When we started our episode one, it kind of, with her, it's kind of laid the foundation of, like, we're here, we're being quite serious.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the kind of, like, people we kind of want on.
Right.
It was a great start. And like we said, meeting, kind of your heroes, meeting Helen O'Hara was
definitely.
I think we kind of from the start we always said we wanted people that were passionate about film. It didn't matter if they were massively famous, but just that they had a passion.
Probably ones
most I think that's the ones that have gone really well. Is you know
no, for sure
you know we yeah absolutely you know it's great. Well, no, I mean I don't think we've had anyone on who wasn't really passionate about. That film potentially, but
I can't imagine you would.
No,
it would be a bit weird if they came on. It's like, yeah, what's your favorite sequel? But, oh, I don't know, really.
Sometimes you do get agents who are like, oh, well, this person's really passionate. Yeah. You know, really likes films. And you're like, right. Do they? Or are you sure? Just trying to promote them? So
that's
yeah. Well, so the whole idea.
I guess that's where your questions come in.
Yeah, yeah. So the whole idea of the pod, like I say, is getting people on who are, I mean, essentially, journalists. I guess so far have been comedians,
Been
other podcasters, yeah, film journalists.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we've had like, obviously a couple of directors and producers kind of on as well. People actually make films. So we've been really lucky there.
I think that's awesome, man. Something I wanted to ask you guys, have you ventured into the world of fictional podcasts? Because I feel like this is a whole other space.
Weirdly, we just had a conversation about it about 15 minutes ago, and I'm not even joking.
Okay.
There's an idea we had.
Go on, then. We really did.
I don't want to ruin it. And we really enjoyed doing it. And there's a short film. It did quite well. It did well at uni. I was making it sound much better. You watch back now, it's horrible.
Okay.
We won a film festival in Bishop Stortford, didn't we?
And you know, we always mean to make.
Well, there you go. It's award winning.
We meant to do it. Was it last year or year before? When the pandemic hit. The pandemic hit, we literally filmed like two scenes of it.
2 years ago.
And never got around to finishing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Rich was like, "You know what? We could do. We could do a podcast. Like a scripted podcast, like." And because back in the day,
do it as a podcast
at uni, someone made a radio play of it, and I was like, I forgot we did that.
That was the first idea for it. We came up with. We can probably say the premise, can't we? You know, essentially, the premise is a boy band who are terrible, and not just terrible, but the whole joke is that they never actually sing a note. Throughout the whole thing, so there's no music whatsoever, and it's just about like kind of their egos and their striving to try and make it, and it's always it's quite funny to do, and it started off as a radio play where we were just helping out some friends who were doing radio production, and they were like, oh, we need to do a radio play, and we were like, we've sort of got this idea. And we sort of got a semi-written script. They're like, yeah, we'll do that. Okay.
We did an album cover for another friend who did photography. So we had an album cover and a radio play of this idea, basically. And then we did the final film as our third year film.
And now the new bit is like the man band rather than the boy band. Uh-huh. You know, like the Bros style comeback kind of thing, yeah.
The Bros documentary a couple of years ago was so good and so crazy. Did you watch it?
I don't think I have, no.
You've got to check it. It's like Spinal Tap, but real. It's called Bros.
Bros After the Screaming Stops.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Do you know what? I mean, I think I've said before in either this or another podcast that Spinal Tap is one of my favourite films of all time, so you've sold me on that. Amazon.
You are going to love... Matt Goss is beyond ridiculous, but apparently the nicest man in music. We've spoken to someone else recently. And you think it's not real, but it is.
Okay, I'll give this a go.
It's about them getting back together and doing a concert at the O2, basically.
It is, yeah.
That reminds me of, like, the story of Anvil. Have you ever seen that? It's kind of a similar vein.
Yeah, it's yeah. It's like you're going to love it. But it's like poppy and boy bandish instead of rock music. But definitely worth watching. So, yeah, the idea is there to do something. Because me and Rich, it would also be nice, quite nice. The reason we do 12 episodes is not to put too much pressure on ourselves. I mean, every week we talk about a film, but that's like half an hour. We can get that out pretty easily. But we're discussing other ideas. It's just time.
I think ultimate goal, Dave, would be we put together a network of podcasts and we do this kind of full time rather than our day jobs. But that might be a way off.
That is the dream.
Yeah, that is the dream. I think of
everyone,
most if not all podcasters.
Like, because while we're having this conversation, because podcast now is such a massive business, it's like everyone's got a podcast, it seems. So it's for yourself to try and be heard, to be seen, but it's a lucrative business, and there's definitely, well, obviously you see it's back in 2004, it's come from the size it was then to what it is now. And what was it, Smartless, the Jason Bateman one, sold for 50 million the other day. Like, these are famous people making that kind of money. Joe Rogan, you know, if you listen to that, that's fine. But Spotify spending 70 million on him
is ridiculous.
I was going to say, how do you guys feel about the sort of commercialization, get that word out, of of podcasting in general?
I mean, I think as long as it remains that people like us doing independent podcasts can still do it, you know, I think it's fine. You know, I don't have a massive issue with it. I think some of the sums of money are a bit crazy, but if we got to that point where people were offering us money to take on our podcast, then, you know, would we, you know, I'm not sure what we'd do. But.
Yes, 50 million, you're rich, yes.
Well, of course, I can't imagine Dave, come on.
I was going to say, I can't imagine the answer would be, I'll think about it.
Let me just tell my business partner.
I just want to, you know, keep my integrity. No, I will sell out. I will sell out in about 3 seconds.
I guess for sort of the lower level, more independent like ourselves, the sort of the next logical thing is advertising, right?
Yep,
or you get to a certain point. And yeah, I don't know about you guys. I'm one of those people, I'm sort of 50-50 on it when it comes to advertising in podcasts. Because on the one hand, I get it. But on the other hand, I don't want to listen to a show and then it stops every 15 minutes to be like, here's a bunch of adverts. And you just kind of go, oh,
God. And I get that with adverts. But at the same time, you're getting a hell of a lot of free content. You know, something's got to pay for that content. And some of that content is excellent as well. So I sort of see ads as being like the...
I don't want a 4-minute ad at the beginning of a podcast. I don't mind a minute, but there's some that they, you know, 3-4 minutes, you think, come on, let's just get going. Plus, if it's an Adam Buxton podcast and he's doing the jingles, it's literally one of the best things about the podcast. So I'm actually literally looking, like, waiting for his jingles, because he makes them, they're so good.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them who do them, like, I listened to the Wolf and Owl, which is the Romesh Ranganathan and Tom Davis one, which is also really good, by the way. Their banter is quite good, and they have banter with their adverts. And so does James Acaster and Ed Gamble, to be honest.
That's true.
They're not bad. It's the one when you, the business-like ones. But I would quite happily, to get better equipment at the moment, like better mics, would put one or two in, probably ours. But purely to make podcast sound better and get us a better reach. Beyond that, I don't know. But I think it'd be quite fun if me and Rich start doing our own adverts. I actually look forward to that. I'd be like, can I make my own music? And I'd be like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Oh, brilliant. This is gonna be
that's something I agree with. Yeah. That's my, like, my caveat is, like, if the host or hosts can find a way to make it fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not just like, let me talk to you about a website designing service for, you know, 1.5 minutes. And it just sort of breaks the flow of what you're listening to. Whereas if they do a jingle or a stupid skit. I mean, one of my favorite examples, and we talk about fictional podcasts. Have you guys listened to Beef and Dairy Network?
No.
It's absolutely bonkers. It's kind of what I feel like Monty Python would be like if they got into podcasting. It's essentially one guy does it. It's a fictional world about the beef and dairy industry. And he just adds more and more ludicrous characters. Guys like Mike Wozniak, who's now quite a big name. He's like an early character. And it's so funny and it's so daft and it's that kind of wacky, weird humor. The guy does like one a month because he obviously puts so much production into it. But he had this recurring advert for a recruitment site. And even at the end of that, he turns that into a character and into a skit. And there's even like one episode where it's just this character that's part of one of his advert that just goes on for like 40 minutes. And it's now at a point where if I listen to an episode and he doesn't have an ad, I'm almost gutted. I'm almost like, oh, I was hoping to hear from Slash Beef this week, but like, you know, and I'm like, hang on a minute, he's got me missing an ad.
That's genius, isn't
That's
it?
It's genius, isn't it?
If you were an advertiser, wouldn't you prefer that than
you just having
exactly,
a voiceover pop in?
Because you don't
like,
skip
make
those
people
ads.
Miss it.
Yeah, no. Absolutely.
No.
Like you have the power to skip past ads in podcasts, and if you're. Right. You know, I look forward to Yandrew on the Adam Buxton podcast. That's my favourite ad. And every time it comes on, I'm like, hello, success friends. I will never skip it. I will never skip it. So,
same.
You don't skip Adam Buxton at all.
No, you don't.
The man's
don't.
A living legend in the podcasting world. And we, if you listen, Adam, come on both of our podcasts.
Yes, please. Yeah, 100%.
He's one of our dream guests. He's up there.
Definitely. Yeah. Same
here. I think he's got a mention once or twice before, but you're right. Yeah, absolute legend of
the man
the
doesn't
podcast.
Advertise.
Just comedy
he doesn't have any social media, and he's still
ridiculously
like popular, and he still gets huge numbers, and he just doesn't advertise. It's just amazing. It's a dream, really, because we are terrible at social media.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir here.
It's tough, isn't it? It's like part of the business. I don't say, you know, I like Twitter, but I don't want to be on it all the time. And I don't want to be on, we haven't got a Facebook page for this because I can't stand Facebook.
Same.
Sadly, we've got to be on Instagram. I'm getting better at it. I did a story the other day.
I was impressed.
Yeah. You're doing better than me, but yeah.
I'm improving. And I think it's, annoyingly, it's something that does help to get your name out there. Like retweets
I'll say this.
And stuff like that.
Exactly. Especially I'll say this for Twitter. This is it. I'll say this for Twitter. I mean, this is proof right now. It's like
yeah,
we
absolutely.
Met for Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I found it to be an almost invaluable source of networking and meeting people. And like you say, but then there's also, like you said, you don't want to fall into the trap of how do you make it interesting? Mm. How do you sort of, every time I go to send out a tweet, I'm like, I'm just advertising. So I'm always like, there's always a duality, isn't there? Of like, well, I need to promote this episode, but at the same time, I don't want to be just constantly going, please listen to my show. Please listen to my show. Please listen to my show. Because it's like, are people going to pay attention? So I get what you mean. Yeah. Social media is one of those things. If you're listening and you're like, I want to get into the world of podcasting, it's something you'll have to deal with at some point. Mm. And whatever you choose to do with it is up to you, really.
Yeah. This is a good topic. What socials would you think good for advertising your podcast? Is there any point of being on TikTok? Mm. Is Snapchat still a thing? Is that still down with the kids?
I don't know about Snapchat.
Showing our age, Dave.
TikTok, maybe, because you can do like sound bites and stuff, can't you? And I've done a couple of those before.
Are you on TikTok? TikTok.
No, I'm not. It just looks like
hell.
An absolute nightmare. Yeah. Yeah. My wife's on there. She's got an art account. She's an artist, so she can put up really cool videos of her painting and stuff. And she's very good at sifting through like a few funny, wholesome videos. But I was talking to someone about it the other day, and they was like, they would try to be on TikTok for a week and they just couldn't, because it was just, they said it was a hellscape of just weirdness. So I think it's one of those, you have to get in, find your niche very quickly.
Yeah.
Otherwise you'll just be bombarded with nonsense. Because it has is it ever scroll? Is that the thing? So like, it's just a never ending feed.
Yeah. So it continuously updates. So your thing might not even be seen. Is that?
Exactly. It gives me like anxiety just thinking about it, if I'm being honest.
Because the reason me and Rich make the podcast is because we, at the moment, it's fun and we enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
But the idea of other people listening is fantastic. Not going to lie. It's nice to you know that same. People are listening to your content. You know, it feels like, okay, at least someone else enjoy it. We're enjoying it. But the moment we stop enjoying it, probably me and Rich will be like, okay, let's just move on.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But getting other people to listen to it is a struggle. I'm not going to lie. And having bigger names does help. Like, we had Nick Helm this week, and that has been that has been our most successful week. There's no doubts about it. And getting him on and getting people listening to that has brought other people listening to other episodes as well, which has been really nice. But just social media is such a constant.
It's hard.
For any podcaster, I think it's tough, and especially if you're not good at it. And there's some people who are on it are just brilliant. Like with their content, they're continuously funny. I feel bad continuously tagging people like our guest, and like every day I'm same like maybe he might retweet it this time or not. It's tough,
yeah, it's
man.
Like I'm the same. Every time I end a thing, I'm like, just so you know, I'm going to be tagging you for like the next 2 weeks. It's not because I'm a crazy stalker person. It's just because that's the length of time that I put these out, and I do need to mention it occasionally
so
people listen.
Yeah.
So if you want to give it a retweet once in a while, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Luckily, Nick's done that a few times for us, and he's a nice guy. So
happy days.
I can't, yeah. And saying that, all of our guests have been really, really generous with their time. And
it's sort of like become a bit of a game now, hasn't it, Dave? Like trying to get in the Apple top 100. Like that's like kind of like, yeah, we're kind of having fun with it, going like, oh, we're 106, whatever it is we got to this week.
109, Rich. Let's
109. Ah, sorry, I was three ahead of myself.
And then I also have to point out, because Rich doesn't, that's only on in UK on TV and film. That's not the whole world.
All right. It's still good.
I'm still bloody proud of it. I didn't think we'd ever get there. It's nice to see your podcast out there with other people like that. So, and then you can kind of be like, hey, come onto our podcast. We're at this certain number. And it does help when you can use other people's name to get people on your podcast.
That is true.
I don't know if you've done the same, like, hey, come onto our podcast. Look at the some of the other people that I've had in the first series. I think
definitely. That's definitely. I have to say, since coming back from the sitcom run, I did, I'm just looking now at my previous guests. I don't think I would have got any of them on. Had I not got one or two? I mean, again, big shout out to Helen O'Hara, very helpful.
Absolutely.
you get someone like that on, and suddenly it's like, oh, people who are in the podcasting world start to take you a little bit more seriously.
Also, the market you're trying to sell yourself to as well, like, because we're a film website,
right?
Podcast. So those are the kind of people we want to listen, or we think will enjoy our content. They're the obvious market as it is.
Gotcha.
You know, we love film, they love film. Come on board, come and tell us what your best, worst, and dream sequel is.
Essentially,
think about it in your head.
Really passionate film critics are our best, you know, that's our dream guests.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And there are lots. There are lots of them out there.
We've got a list. So
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Some of them we haven't heard back from, but I'll keep knocking on doors.
Do you know what? That's something I think is worth people knowing if you're looking to get into podcasting, is like, be prepared to be rejected.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've lost count of the hundreds of people I've sent messages to and never heard back from, but like, you just don't have to take it personally. That's all.
I think every mistake that you can make from setting up a podcast, me and Rich have learned.
Yeah.
And we're about 2 years into the game now, which makes it sound like but I think we've learned about sound quality. You learn about trying to sell yourself, getting guests. Basically, we had a name before we had our first podcast. We had a name before we actually had the idea of a podcast. What were we going to do with it? And I put that up on Twitter. So that was stupid straight off. I got excited.
We got the, Dave thought, the Baywatched podcast, that's a great name for a podcast. Put it up on Twitter. And then like 3 weeks later, there was another Baywatched podcast. We're like,
no.
Oh, Dave.
It wasn't there before.
It wasn't, no.
Wow. And then you learn about microphones. So at the moment, we've got semi-decent microphones. You look like you've got an awesome microphone, so I'm going to annoy you about what one that is.
This is all dressing, I can assure you. So for people listening at home, I bought a very fancy looking arm and pop shield, a few other things. It came with the audio box I got. So I got a pre-Sonus audio box for if one of the Studio One wants to send me some free stuff. That would be awesome.
That is pre-Sonus.
pre-Sonus. Yeah, no, I bought a package when I wanted to start all of this up. And yeah, this mic is just the one that came with it.
It looks good.
It looks good, and it's gone better sounding because, to your point, over the years, I've just been watching a ton of YouTube videos on editing, and I've got like 6 or 7 different things now on like plugins running here that make it sound, I just call them, you know, make gooderers.
Mm.
I've just got a bunch of those slapped on at various settings. So
I should learn that.
Yeah.
That's again, another thing, editing. It's going to take you longer than you think it's going to take. People who think, running a podcast, or starting a podcast is easy, it is not. It is it is time consuming, but yeah. It is a lot of fun, and it is very rewarding.
And audio quality is really important as well, because there's nothing that will make me turn off a podcast than if the levels are all over the place or if the audio is poor quality. You really have to put a bit of effort into that.
Do you think in this post-pandemic world now, because obviously the last 2 years, everything's been recorded at home like we are now. And before that, a lot of it was tried down the studios and stuff like that. Do you think you're more lenient with the sound quality than you were before?
100%, especially since learning to do this and thinking back on some of like my older episodes now, which I'm like, I have genuinely had the thought of going back and like redoing a lot of them.
I've done the same thing, don't worry.
But I'm just like, that's way too much work. And also some of the audio files probably missing now, but... So what's done is done. So yeah, I'm always a bit more lenient on people because I'm constantly learning something that I go,
absolutely.
Okay. And every episode I upload, and this will be the same, I'll listen to it and go, that's the best sounding one I've done. Which kind of annoys me when I look back now at the stats it's lovely to see the downloads are getting more and more, which is lovely.
Yeah.
But people are clearly starting from the beginning and working their way through, which I'm like, okay, I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, the best sounding one has just come out.
Yeah, yeah. Start the end and then go back.
Exactly. So if you're listening to this first, well done.
Something that's really good for that is Pod Bible do a jumping on point. So there's a magazine called Pod Bible, which if anyone listening hasn't heard of, it's fantastic. It's all about podcasts and podcasting. Uh-huh. They also have a podcast about podcasts, which is great as well. And that's a really, really good starting point. But they do some really good jumping on points. So they'd be like, oh, like episode 56 of Adam Buxton is a really good place to start. Or, it's really useful.
But hey, that sounds like a great resource. I point people in the direction of YouTube, like whatever software you're using.
That's how I learned Audacity.
Yeah, exactly. Audacity, I know, has got great videos. Like I said, I use Studio One, which is pre-Sonus, and they've got tons and tons of videos. And especially during lockdown, a lot of the software developers had time to update everything and put loads and loads of instructional videos out there. So if you're someone who's like, where do I even begin? There's lots and lots of how-to guides out there that are so invaluable. And yeah, my advice is just do what I did and just spend hours watching them and slapping yourself in the face and going, why did I not think of that?
Right? I just learned about it a couple of months ago that you can sync tracks up and then lock them. That was a big help for me.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, also, there's a lot of people in podcasting, like ourselves, you. We will quite happily answer any questions.
Yeah, definitely.
That's true.
And even the people like the Pod Bible people, like Stu, you could send him a message and he'll probably help you. Or, you know, there's so many people out there who quite happily spread their experience or their advice or do's and don'ts.
Because we're all learning. We've all been on this learning curve.
Especially over the last couple of years.
If idiots like me and Dave can do it, then, you know, anyone can.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, ditto. But yeah, it's another thing I'd say to people is always have a backup. Just in case, especially stuff like recording over Zoom's gotten much better in the last year.
Unbelievable, isn't it,
with audio quality. But yeah, if you're going to have it, always have a backup.
Zoom's got a great thing where you can record each track of each person individually now as well. So rather than just recording the Zoom as a whole, one whole track mixed, you can now separate your guests. So that's been a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has been very useful. One day I think we'll like to do it in the same room, Rich, right?
It'd be nice, right?
Of course.
We've still never recorded. We live quite close to each other now. In the pandemic, I moved house, which is now about 15 minutes away from Rich. So we'll probably try and do one of our extra episodes together. I'm not, we'd like to have a guest live, but I don't know how that would work. I think we would love to do a live episode, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think that'd be fun?
God, yeah.
Oh, that's the dream of any show.
I've gone and seen Empire a couple of times do their podcast live, and it's just absolutely
brilliant. Do you know, I've watched a couple live myself. I've mentioned them before. I'll mention them again. One of my absolute favourites is a guy called, there's three of them called Do Go On, these Aussie comedians. They've come to Bristol, of all places, twice, and it was... Yeah, and that was my wife's introduction to them as well. I was like, I've been listening to these guys for years. They pick a topic from history. Like, you learn about it, and obviously they're comedians, so they make jokes and riffs in between.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very fun. And again, if you're listening, guys, love to have you on. we can say that about every podcast we've discussed, like both of ours. Like, just yes, please, as shows who are looking for guests continuously. But yeah, you're right. There's something about that as well. Like, that's another side of it that I think if you're not into podcasting, people don't know is, you can do live shows and they're so much fun. Like, if you're in a room and, like you said, if you're listening to something like Empire or Do Go On or whatever for years, being in the room with those people, there's such a great atmosphere. It's like any live gig. It's brilliant. Mm.
Especially comedians. They must be really good at it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I did a... Tons of fun. I did a live stream with the Sequelizers guys. So it was... We were all in our own, like, houses, but we kind of live streamed it together and people could watch it on YouTube. They do, like, a really cool kind of, like, World Cup of... Of directors. I chose Kevin Smith as my choice. So we went through all Kevin Smith's movies and ended up with the best one at the end. That was really fun. That was really cool. And that was live and you can see people's reactions and take questions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And also I come from a bit of a radio background, so that's kind of normal to like have audience interaction as you're going. So that was quite a nice thing to do.
Well, that seems to be next step, isn't it? A lot of these like Spotify are adding it, video podcasts, but vlogging. So it's not vlogging, it's vodding.
Yeah.
Would you guys be comfortable with that, putting yourselves... It must make editing harder because you'd be jumping a lot, wouldn't you? Or would you just...
Yeah, that's my only concern is you'd have to really knock the editing right down or you'd have to pick certain points.
And dress up.
Because...
Make sure you're looking decent. Yeah.
I mean, I think I definitely have a face for radio, so, you know, I'm comfortable with that.
as someone who sat here in tracksuits and a beanie, I feel a little bit under attack right
now.
But I'll let that slide.
The waist down, that is literally, I'm in my sweat jogger things. This is, it's the dream, isn't it? Working from home in your joggers, right?
That's true, yeah. I don't know. I guess the other thing to that is, what's the added value?
Exactly.
Because I know a few people that do that. Like you said, they either do it through... I think Twitch or Spotify, not Spotify. Spotify.
Yeah, they have a live room or something, a green room.
What
YouTube as well is quite popular for it. But I'm with you, and like, even if someone does that and I'm listening to it on YouTube, I'm not going to be watching it. Chances are, I've just got my headphones on or I've got it on in the background But I don't know. I'd have to speak to somebody who does that to find out
like
what the appeal is.
So Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant, Cole Pilkington, when they did their podcast, they also used to release like an animated version as well. So it was their podcast, but then there was animation that went to it that was on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I think my dad wrote a porno. I think those guys have had some animated bits as well, which are quite
they're
funny.
They're good as well. That's very
funny. Right.
They're very good.
They're about to do like a worldwide tour, live tour of like America and Canada.
Who would have thought, really?
Well, this is it. Yeah, like I said, the Do Go On guys have done a UK tour.
Yeah.
They've talked about doing a US one, which has blown them away. And then there's like you said, there's those guys. There was some other I can't remember the name. There's another show I briefly checked out the other day. I decided it wasn't for me, but, you know, that's okay. But they were talking about like a live show as well. And I thought, oh, I thought, do you know what? Fair enough. That's really cool that enough people are on board that you can do that. Yeah, like you can take a podcast and you can effectively do a tour with it. It's kind of insane, but I love it at the same time. Because like I said, it's a great live event. And I just think, how cool is that to be in a room with like-minded people and just have a bit of fun?
Yeah.
Be amazing.
Yeah, I think some of the obviously, the, when we're talking about film podcasts, there's films to be buried with Brett Goldstein, which is an absolutely phenomenal film podcast. And their live ones, they do live ones at the BFI, and they've had like Nish Kumar and other people on as their live guests. I love those episodes. They're because the audience interaction is great. Like, it's really
the,
cool.
The live off menu ones. The Izzy Suter one is just, it's fantastic. It's almost like a concert.
It is,
for sure. This is it, and it's even just as an audience member listening at home, it's quite nice sort of getting that feel, the vibe, the crowd there.
Because
it's obviously different when you're in front of a room and you get that sense off of the presenters as well. So yeah, I'm with you, mate. I mean, who knows? Maybe one day we could be doing a live thing. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but
we'll do a tour together.
I quite like sort of crossover episodes as well. Like, I'm quite keen on doing crossover episodes and, you know, we've talked about that before.
Lots of those.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to start doing more because we've really enjoyed that. This is our second, third?
I think it's my nice third and your second, right?
Like, it's quite nice being a guest, to be honest.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, this is what I love. I mean, I'm in the weird category of podcasts where I'm sort of, like obviously like yourselves, it's a different guest every time. So it's a bit of an unknown quantity what's going to happen. So, but I kind of love it.
And your guest kind of picks your subject, doesn't they? So you could be talking about literally anything. Like,
basically,
your guests could be like, I really like socks. Let's talk about socks for an hour. You know, it could be
anything. Everyone needs socks.
If that's what you're into, if you like knitting, I mean, I think in the intro thing I did ages ago, I mentioned gardening, and I was like, no one's come to me about gardening yet. So there's tons of topics available. If someone's listening and they're like, oh, no one cares about this. We've just sat here for like an hour and talked about podcasting. Nothing's off limits. And I always say, like, and the same to your guys' show, it's like, there are no wrong answers. It's just whatever the guest brings, and it's all about learning. You know, and that's coming back to what we were saying earlier. That's one of my favorite things about podcasting is hearing someone else's point of view, learning about something. And even if you come away from it and you're like, well, I don't fully agree, or I'm not going to explore this any further, fine. You've just learned something.
But you do get some lovely stuff from people as well, like Holly. Listening to Jordan King's episode on Gavin and Stacey.
I love that. That was so nice.
He was so passionate about it. And I really kind of like, I really enjoyed listening to that because he's so earnest and he knows, you know, he was really heartfelt and he didn't hold back. It was a great episode. No. It really was. That's exactly what these kind of podcasts should be, really, where we have guests on. You really have to let your guests take the podcast. And I think you do that really well. You know, I think it's a really good show, definitely.
And likewise, right back at you. that was obscene flattery. But to your point, like Jordan, I think is a good example. And I've had plenty recently, but Jordan's one definitely sticks out to me as, you know, like I didn't have much of an affinity for the show, Gavin and Stacey, but in the sitcom summer I was doing, he brought it up and I was like, yeah, okay, why not? And after the conversation, I came away from it and I was saying to my wife after, I was like, that was like a really lovely conversation. Like, I've never heard someone talk about it with so much enthusiasm and passion before. And even to the point now where like I saw something the other day, or I heard something the other day where people like to badmouth James Corden all the time. And I just turned around and was like, do you know what? I don't know if he deserves all of that. And I was like, I was talking to Jordan. You know, I had this guy on my show and I'm glad we addressed that side of it, because when I heard what he had to say, that genuinely changed my viewpoint. As much as it's easy to go around sometimes with the celebrity punching bag, I just thought, do you know what? What he had to say, I couldn't argue with it. And I thought, that's totally fair. And maybe we should just ease up a little bit.
And it's nice to see, like, some of the things that Jordan said, about the way that, you know, the way that that James Corden, he felt, you know, he, someone who looked like him on the TV and someone that looked like him making those movies. It was kind of the same way that I feel like about Kevin Smith. Is, you know, when I was young, and I could look at Kevin Smith and go, that guy looks like me. You know, that guy like is like me. And he's making movies with his mates in exactly the same way that I want to. And, you know, he's talking about stuff that makes sense to me. And that's kind of really inspirational to see that. And it's so nice. Right. It was so nice to hear, like, Jordan talking about, you know, being inspired.
Jordan's going to love this episode, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
Hi, Jordan.
Hello, buddy.
But that's the great thing about podcasts is I think because you don't, you're not looking at somebody, you know, it's almost easier to talk about this sort of stuff, especially for, like, you know, grumpy old middle-aged white guys like me who don't really talk about these kind of things. You know, it's kind of easier to know that no one's going to see your face. Nobody listening is going to see my face when we're talking about this stuff. So actually it's easier to say, you know, what you really feel. And it's easier to feel like you're part of that conversation as well. So, yeah, I think that's another beauty of podcasting. This does all come round eventually. All these rambles do all come round to the subjects.
They do. Yeah, it's fine.
I think you're right. I think podcast, there's a like you said at the beginning of the show, there's a podcast for everyone. So if you need something to listen to, or you're down or you're alone and you need a voice in your head kind of thing, there's that kind of thing. Or, you know, like we said, we're friends. Podcasts can be friends.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, again, that's the other joy of podcasts, is that we're not really competitive, I don't think. Like, there are lots of podcasts out there that will be in the same territory as the one that you're recording. But I don't feel, I feel like actually we're kind of all supportive of each other rather than rivals with each other. So some of our best, our best kind of podcast friends are like the Sequelizers, who are right in the wheelhouse of what we do. And I think those guys are brilliant, and I would always recommend people go to listen to them, because, you know, there's loads of space for podcasts in your life. You know, you don't, no one should just listen to one, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's just because you listen to our podcast doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to lots of other people's. So I think it's always good to recommend other people's podcasts for people to go and listen to.
Also, if you're thinking about umming and ahhing about doing a podcast, just do it.
Just do it.
Oh, I was thinking about it for years. Yeah. Literally, just do it. I can't. That's my best bit of advice I can give it. At least then you get it out of your system. You've given it a try.
And if you want some help and some support,
and with the internet now, it's so easy to do. So easy. You don't have to get an extraordinary, like, a £300 microphone or anything. It's, you know, and there's you can make your own music on GarageBand or whatever. If you want to go down that
route. Dave made our music.
Accidentally, I made our music. So simple, and it's so rewarding. And there is a podcast there for everyone. So even if you think no one's listening, I assure you someone is listening.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the beauty of it. Again, is what we were saying earlier, is the sort of the independent side of it is so cool, because you can get so much variety out there and you can have a go. And you're absolutely right. I think that's how everybody got started.
You have control of it as well. It's yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, it can scratch that creative itch, like you said. I mean, I think I've said before on the show, that's how I got started with this, was like getting into home recording and going, right, so recording actual songs with multiple instruments, that's going to take me a long time to figure out, because there's lots of levels. Yeah. I've had this idea for a podcast. Well, talking into a microphone is easier to process and put out there. And here we are, you know, and like you said, you just sort of learn stuff as you go, and it doesn't have to be perfect either. You know, you'll always find there'll be another episode. You'll learn something else and go, ah, okay, I've learned something.
Yeah,
and
that's
absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And even we've had episodes when we finish recording and Rich would be, or I would be like, did that go all right? And then I edit it and come back. I was like, yeah, it was our best one yet, mate. I don't know what you were worried about.
It's mostly me. It's mostly me, to be honest. Like, afterwards, I'm like, was what I said just ridiculous?
Like, sometimes Rich forgets that he spoke in the episode. He's like, did I say anything? He's like, yes, mate. Don't worry, you spoke. Or did I just? I think sometimes Rich blacks out for an hour and a half and then comes around at the end. But What happens?
I try really hard to listen. That's the thing. It's like, I really want to know what, because like we say, it's the guests podcast. And to be honest, right. If you stick me in front of the microphone, I could just talk for ages, as you probably noticed. So I deliberately try not to talk too much. But then sometime after the podcast, I was like, did I say anything? Did I say anything at all? So Dave's nice to reassure
me. I can assure you have.
But yeah.
No, you guys definitely have. And I've loved having this conversation. I mean, I just want to know, was there anything else on your notes or you want to bring up about podcasts? We could talk about this all day.
It's a subject, like tips, what we learned, why we podcast, what we listen to. We've done that.
I think we covered pretty much everything, haven't we?
Yeah, why we started, why we love it.
Yeah. But that's awesome. I say, I genuinely hope this is an episode that I hope, as aside from it being sort of weirdly meta, very and somewhat self-indulgent, yeah, I genuinely hope that it helps someone out there listening. If it gives you the little inspiration, just to say, I'm going to give this a go. Absolutely. You've got an idea.
If you've got an idea,
and you can have any idea.
If you've got an idea for a podcast, I mean, like, if you want some help, if you any questions at all, just send us an email. Like, we'll help you with anything. Like, we really will. You know, if you're thinking, oh, I want a guest on our podcast, give us a shout, we'll come on. You know, if you want some cross promotion, give us a shout, we'll happily do that. You know, just whatever we can do, really. We're all in this together.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll say that. It is a very welcoming community, I found. So, yeah, if you're wondering, just go for it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I can't say any more than that, to be honest. It helped scratch my creative itch massively.
Mm-hmm.
It does take a bit of time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And also, don't get too hung up on
who's.
It's
so much fun. Sorry.
Don't get too hung up on who's listening. You know, if you have fun doing it, people will listen because it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do it for you, and don't worry about everyone else. That'll come. You know,
I'm on some forums and they're like, I put out 7 episodes and I've only had like a certain amount of listeners. Like, you're in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Don't worry about the listeners. Yeah.
They'll probably come. There's like a rule somewhere I've wrote. No one takes you seriously until you've done like 30 episodes or something. So there's a certain number because that's when people can look back at your back catalog and go, I'm going to blitz that. They're stuck.
I will say, you've got to stick it out because I've known a bunch of shows that have started off around the same time as me and I haven't seen them put anything out for a long time. And look, sometimes life gets in the way and if you need to put it on the back burner, that's absolutely fine. But yeah, I've seen a few where they've just kind of gone belly up because, as you say, people haven't committed to it. So that's the other side of it, is just set a reasonable goal in terms of time, how many you want to put out. There's no rule that says you have to put out multiple episodes in a week or
length.
You know, just do whatever's comfortable. No. Yeah, or there's, length. Exactly.
Our mate Sean Walsh, who was on our episode, he does a podcast and it's called like What Annoys You This Week or something like that. Sorry, Sean, I can't remember.
What's his upset episode, you now is, that's is it. What it's called.
What upset you now? I was listening to it today and it's only 15 minutes long.
Right.
And it's so funny. And it, obviously he's got very good guests because he gets his comedian mates. But even something like that length there's a market for it. Not everything has to be an hour, you know.
No.
People will listen to 15-minute, 10-minute episodes. Sometimes that works into their lifestyle much easier.
Yeah.
Think about like the Jaws in a Minute podcast. You know, that's brilliant.
Big friends of ours. Yeah.
That's a great that's a great podcast. And that's like snippets. Mm. You know, it's great. I think I've completely forgotten what I was going to say. I had something really important to say then. I forgot what it was. Oh, there we go. Commitment. You said commitment. And
yes. Yeah, commitment.
I think that's the other thing as well, is if you commit to doing something, kind of do it. You know, like if you say, I'm going to put a podcast out every Friday, put it out every Friday. Yeah. Don't miss one. Because the one time you miss one, you'll people will switch off.
Do you know what? Friend of the show, Mark Woodjet, is... I mean, his podcast, Mark and Me, skips in and do amazing work.
We're fans.
He was really, really kind when he came onto this show. We chatted for like half an hour afterwards. And that was something he said, was like, whatever you do, stick to your schedule. Because if you don't, to your word exactly, it's like, people will give up. And you do.
Yeah.
You do. If someone says, oh, we'll be back in, you know, a week's time, and then it's 4 weeks later and you don't see an episode. You just think, okay, whatever. And you just kind of give up. You don't really think about it anymore.
We should talk to Skip Tien, because I think that's everyone's in our world's like dream. The numbers they had and the content they put out and the reach of the fan base is just incredible. And his podcast is amazing. And the guest he gets.
Oh, it is.
He's like a role model. Like it's just everything he does. His is so clean. His posters, you know, his advertising he puts out, his competitions, his music.
Yeah.
You know, it's very professional.
Absolutely.
He's a really good, example of a decent quality podcast.
Oh yeah. It's goals. I've said to him once or twice messages. I don't know how he does it. He's someone who puts out multiple a week now, but it's just because the guy works so hard. So you're right, it's people like that you look up to and you think, right, that's where you could get, but you have got to put the effort in. I totally agree. So that's it. I think that's a really good tips and advice. And I genuinely hope this is an episode that inspires somebody to just go out and try it. And if you do, tell us. I'll put all of our contact details in the show notes. Reach out to us. We'd love to know. And like you said, I'll throw myself in as well. I'm always happy to help. Always happy to answer a question.
I'm always listening
as best I can.
I'm always listening to new podcasts.
Same.
Me too. Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of, where can the good people find you guys then? I mean, we've talked a bit about it.
Do your thing.
Go for it.
It's always my job to do this bit.
I do the editing.
So we are, true. To be honest, Dave does all the hard work and I just have to mention stuff. So we're on Twitter that we mentioned already, and we're on Instagram, both at Unequal Sequel. We've got an email address as well, which I always get wrong. Even though we've done 30-odd episodes, we have nearly 40 episodes now, I still get it wrong. It's unequalsequel@hotmail.com. Hey, I got it right the first time.
Hey, there we go.
So yeah, you can send us an email there, especially if you want podcasting tips or if you want us to help you with anything, or if there's anything we can do, then yeah, send us an email. And you can listen to us on all of your podcasting platforms. Yeah, we're on Acast, we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on Google. Anywhere you listen to your podcast, that's where we are.
And what's our premise, Rich?
Sentence? You should probably tell. Yeah. All right. Okay.
We are professional.
We are.
In your defense,
we have talked about it, but just in case anyone's forgotten.
So what we do is every week.
I like to test it.
Every week we have a special guest who comes on and tells us their favorite sequel, their least favorite sequel, and their dream sequel. And we have a lot of fun, and mostly Dave takes the piss out of me, which is, you know, it's fun too. And I think also we should mention, Dave, that the whole reason we started this podcast is because you were amazed at how few sequels I'd seen.
Yes.
I think was another thing. I hadn't even seen The Godfather Part 2 before we started this.
Really?
Yeah, I know, right?
And I was like, that's the first one you're going to watch, because someone's going to pick that straight away.
Yes,
and no one has.
One single soul has picked it yet.
Really?
Not one person. No, nobody's picked it.
Oh,
that's all the recordings. Most of the recordings for season two, still no one's picked it. There's a few of them out there that no one's picked Aliens yet either, guys. So
yeah, and that's the brilliant thing about this podcast is that nobody does what you think they're going to do. Nobody picks what you think they're going to pick.
Yeah,
you know, people pick movies you've never heard of, and you know,
right?
It's great, like Jordan. You know. Jordan picked movies, three movies neither of us have ever seen. You know, it's great.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much. I mean, like I say, I'll make sure to put all the notes in for people to go and find you. I mean, I do that every episode, but it'll be there. People can scroll, click, go wherever they need to go to find you. And all I can say is thanks, guys, for coming on and giving me your time.
You.
I really, really appreciate it.
We'll have to sort you coming on to us as well.
I'd be delighted to.
Yeah. It's only fair.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm happy to if you guys are happy to.
Yeah,
that'd be
definitely.
Brilliant.
Yeah. It might be series three now, I think. I'm not sure.
It's Godfather 2, isn't it? Cool.
I feel like I have to now. Just to bring some culture to the show. But, thanks again.
You're welcome, mate. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And there we have it. A massive thank you to both Rich and Dave for hopping onto the show and talking with me about podcasts. As I said in the intro, I think this was such a fun conversation, as well as one that could be quite inspiring. I hope that you find some of the tips and the more technical stuff quite useful. As Rich and Dave said, if you want to reach out, if you want to hear from us, you want to know more, ask questions, please feel free to do so. I have linked all of our social medias in the show notes as usual. You can reach me on Twitter and Instagram and email at the usual places. You can also do that for both Rich and Dave. I've put links in the show notes, as I've said. And also, I want you to go and check out Unequal Sequel because it's a really fun show. I hope to be on it soon someday. We'll see what happens with that. If it does, then I will be the first person to tell you on this podcast. But in the meantime, we've got plenty of wonderful episodes to catch up on with some absolutely fantastic guests. So I cannot recommend it enough. Go and check out Unequal Sequel today. As always, I want to give a massive thank you to the resident artist who designs the logo and social media banners for the show. You can find Alex's details linked in the show notes if you want to reach out and commission your very own artwork. I can highly recommend him, so go ahead and click the links below if that's something you're after today. I also want to give a massive thank you to you, dear listener, for checking out this very podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, then make sure you subscribe, follow, whatever it is you have to do on your favourite podcatcher, as well as leave us a lovely review if you feel so inclined. 5 stars, preferably. And if you do, tell me that you've done so. You can reach me via all the links that have been previously mentioned. If you've left a 5-star review, then of course you've earned a shout out on the podcast. It's as simple as that. It really is the least that I could do to say thank you. That is it from me. I'll be back again in a few weeks' time with a completely different guest on a completely different subject. So until next time, stay tuned and stay safe.